All right, turn your Bibles with me, please, to the book of Psalm 65. Now, we're preaching through the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to use Psalm 65. We started last Sunday preaching through the Lord's Prayer. We're going to continue with that this morning. Jesus said, when we pray, and we looked at the Lord's Prayer last week, when you pray, we pray our Father, which art in heaven. Last week we looked at the two words, our Father. This week we're going to look at the words, which art in heaven. Let's pray. Father, this morning as we bow with humbled hearts, and we praise You and thank You first of all for our Savior, the one who bought our freedom with His own blood, the one who shed His blood on the cross of Calvary, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. We certainly have abundant life in America. We're thankful for our veterans who've given us that, but we're so grateful for abundant life in the Lord Jesus Christ and how the Spirit of God sets us free today. Thank You for the service thus far. Thank You for Valley Grass. Thank You for our veterans. Thank You for those who will honor those who served our country. And now, Lord, as we look to You, help us to put all our worldly thoughts aside and think only of the Word of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, as we look these few minutes in the Word of God, that You'd place Your Word inside of our heart that we might live for You. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm thinking of a commanding officer as we look at this passage of Scripture and as we look at our Lord's Prayer, who said, the prayers, Jesus said, when you pray, pray our. That is, we don't have a monopoly on God. We're not to pray my Father, but our Father. I'm glad He's my Father personally, but I've got news for you. Nobody has a monopoly on God. We looked at that last week. Then also He said, pray to the Father. That means this God in heaven is personal to us. He becomes our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says that we're to pray, Jesus said we're to pray our Father, which art in heaven. We realize as we come to Him how high and lofty His position is. And so I go back to the thought of the commanding officer. One preacher who served in the military said as he had a great relationship with his commanding officer. He had a wonderful personal relationship with his commanding officer. But yet when he went into his commanding officer's office, he did not put his feet on the desk. And so we understand that God is our Father. We understand that positionally He is God of the universe. He bought our salvation on the cross of Calvary. But we understand that we have a personal relationship with Him. And we're to respect Him just as our veterans had to respect their commanding officers. When the flag passes by, do you respect it as we see in this prayer, we pray our Father which art in heaven, that God is lifted up. Do we lift our flag? Do we honor our flag as it passes by? Do you remove your hat? Do you place your hand over your chest? Doing nothing as the flag passes by dishonors the flag. And we have a Father who is high and must be lifted up in heaven. Do we honor Him with our lives? And Jesus said, so when you pray, pray our Father, but understand He has a position, and that position is in heaven. He is, this morning, our commanding officer. If you see one of these veterans after the service who've been decorated, would you thank them for their service, personally? Can I tell you what happened? Lisa and I went on vacation a few weeks ago, and we were down in Gatlinburg, and I was strolling the streets, and I wasn't watching who was around, and there was a gentleman right here, and I was just going to walk by him. I didn't look at him. I didn't notice what he had on, but he had on a cap, and it said United States Veteran, and it had all kinds of hat pins and things as he wore that. And as I started to pass him, a young man cut me off right in front of me and jumped right in front of me and stuck out his hand to that veteran and said, "Sir, are you a veteran?" He said, "Yes, I am." And that young man said, "I want to thank you for your service." And he walked on. And that, I told Lisa as we strolled the streets, I said, "Lisa, that has left an impression on me. As I was about to walk by that man, somebody else noticed his service. Somebody else noticed his sacrifice and told a total stranger, 'Thank you for what you've done for our country.'" I think we ought to honor the Lord. So many times in the day, we pass Him by. We don't notice what He's done. He's done all for us. He's bought our salvation on the cross of Calvary. He's blessed us in America. He's given us what we have. And yet so many times we focus on other things and we pass our Lord by without ever stopping saying, "Lord, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for how you've bought my freedom. Thank you, God, for the blessings that I've enjoyed in my life." God, help us this morning. So as we pray, "Our Father which art in heaven," this faith is the faith that says, "God, you are in heaven." Not "you may be there." Not you're not, "this is just some empty cosmos flying through space," but "God, you are a God who is there. Thou art in heaven." So many people this morning are deists. They believe that God created the heavens and the earth and He flew off to another atmosphere, another universe, and just left this one alone. I got news for us. Jesus did not teach us to pray that way. He said our Father is in heaven and He is on His throne. It's just not a fleeting life that we have. When we say our Father which is in heaven, we realize there is an eternity. One step after life into death, friend, and you will realize that eternity is real. Eternity is more real than time itself. The eternal is more real than the temporary. And so when we pray our Father which is in heaven, we realize we're living on a temporal planet. We're living in temporal bodies, but we take grasp and we take hold that there is a heaven and we must stand before God and be judged for the things done in this body. Salvation was bought for us from heaven. Our Father which art in heaven. Friend, if you make it to heaven today, you'll make it on the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done on the cross of Calvary, not your own merit. And so we find that this is a prayer that reaches into the third heaven. This is the eternal seat of God. This prayer is not a vain repetition. This prayer is not a religious display. This prayer is not to the stars. This prayer is not to the planets. This prayer is a prayer that conveys us to the very throne of God when we realize we have a personal relationship with our God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we realize that this personal relationship brings us to His position as God, as Creator. Isaiah saw this. In Isaiah 6:1, he said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up and seated upon His throne, and His train did fill the temple." If we would pray, "Our Father which art in heaven," we could get a vision of just how awesome our God is. We realize as we pray this prayer that we are finite and small, that we can connect to an infinite being who has all power in heaven and in earth. Thank God. What a blessing it is to get a glimpse of Him as Isaiah did on His throne. This morning as I sat in our bedroom and the sun shone through the window, I was reading from the Word of God. I was studying the message and the sun came up in its authority and warmed my skin. But I prayed to the Father which was in heaven. I didn't pray to the sun. I didn't pray to the atmosphere. I didn't pray to some strange God. But I prayed to the God of heaven. And as the sun warmed my flesh, the Son of God warmed my heart. He is real. He is our Father. It is personal, and we can connect with Him. He is in heaven. Isaiah also said, "It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in." God, listen carefully, God made the curtains of the stars, and God, the Bible says, spread out the tent of the atmosphere. You realize that the Bible says our atmosphere is like a tent. God can change it, and He is changing it, and He has changed it in the past. Study your Bible. It reminds me of the little joke where Tonto and the Lone Ranger were camping on the desert. And Tonto poked the Lone Ranger about 2 o'clock in the morning, and he said, "Tumasabe, what do you see?" And the Lone Ranger said, "I see stars." He said, "What does that mean?" And the Lone Ranger said, "Well, the moon's in its fourth quarter, so we're in the end of the month. Orion is directly overhead, so it's about 2 o'clock in the morning." And he said, "Venus is setting in the west, so we know it's fall of the year." He said, "What does it mean to you, Tonto?" Tonto said, "It means someone stole our tent." But the Bible says this morning, listen carefully, don't miss the point. The Bible says that God spread out the curtains of the heaven. The Bible says as a tent, our atmosphere wraps around this world. Listen carefully. He is from everlasting to everlasting. The Bible says, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, His throne is going to be an everlasting dominion. Of His earthly kingdom, there will be no end. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tells young Timothy in Timothy 6:5, "Which in His times He shall shew or show who is the most blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords." Let's see what David saw about Him in Psalm 65. Let's read the 13 verses quickly. David says, "Praise waiteth for Thee, O God, in Zion, and unto Thee shall the vow be performed. O Thou that hearest prayer, unto Thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against Me as our transgressions. Thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom Thou choosest and causest to approach unto Thee, that he may dwell in Thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of Thy house, even of Thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness," that means awesome things, "so by terrible things in righteousness will Thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are far off upon the sea, which by His strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. They also that dwell in the uttermost parts are afraid at Thy tokens. Thou makest the outgoings of the morning and evening to rejoice. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it, and greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when Thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with Thy goodness, and Thy paths drop fatness. They drop upon the pastures, the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered over with corn. They shout for joy and they sing." What a blessing. David learned three. He's going to teach us three basic things from this song we're teaching on our Father which art in heaven. To David belongs the faith that places God upon His throne. This morning as you pray, as you have prayed, I hope you've prayed, as you've come to God, I hope that you have had the faith that sets Him upon His throne. David said, "We live in a land of pastures and valleys. We live in a land where You water and soften the ridges branches and the furrows of the ground. But David said there's also in verse 5 back there, he said there's iniquities and there's sin and there's transgression. But he said, God, I'm glad though we're low and we live on this earth that you're high and lifted up and that you have, that you bring down your blessings upon man. Thank God for the fact that he's high and lifted up above all principalities and powers, yet he condescends to men of a low estate. The second thing David learned here, this God who is so high, this God who is so mighty, this God who is so infinite, is still concerned about the affairs of men. He's still concerned about what you go through. This God who seems to so many to be so unreachable can be reached. How can he be reached? Jesus taught us how he can be reached. He can be reached through prayer that says, Our Father, which art in heaven. David teaches us the third thing, the fulfillment of God, that God hears prayer. Look at verse 2. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. I want you to know, friend, this morning that I have a faith. Be not, don't make any mistakes about it. Your pastor has a faith that puts God on his throne. Some people this morning, and it sickens me, some people this morning have a faith. And they say, oh, we believe God. We go to church. We have a pastor. But we practice sin. Oh, we're homosexuals. But we still believe. Oh, we're living in adultery. But we still believe. Hey, friend. I'm not going to drag my God down to that level. The Bible says He's high. And He's holy. We're talking about prayer. Listen carefully. If those people think they can get a hold of the throne of God who are living in sin, and it doesn't matter if it's homosexuality, it doesn't matter if it's adultery, it doesn't matter what kind of sin, if you're living in sin, if I'm living in sin, the Bible says if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. He will. That means you're saying, Pastor, that God's going to turn a deaf ear. That's exactly what I'm saying. If we desire to have sin more than we desire to have a relationship with God, God will turn a deaf ear to our prayer. Oh, listen. God loves the sinner, but God desires to bring the sinner out of his sin. Proverbs 28:9 says, He that turneth away his ear from the hearing of the law, his prayer shall be an abomination. You know what an abomination is? It's something that God hates. The person who turns away from the law of God, the person who turns away and says, I'm not a sinner. Hey, the person who tries to live in his sin with one hand and try to hold on to God in the other, God said, that person, his prayer will be an abomination, something that I hate. Jesus said, when you pray, put the Father on His throne. Our Father which art in heaven, give the Father the place that He deserves. As you repeat the Lord's Prayer, and it's okay to repeat it sometimes. We know it's a model prayer. But dear friend, you can repeat the Lord's Prayer until you're blue in the face. You can repeat the Apostles' Creed until you're blue in the face. You can answer every catechism that religion puts out there, but unless your heart is right with God, it's useless. It is useless. We're praying our Father. As we pray our Father in a sincere heart, we soon perceive the majesty of the Father that leads us to say, Our Father which art in heaven. We understand that as we come to God, we don't come to Him in a rush with a list of things that we want. We come to Him recognizing who He is personally. We come to Him recognizing who He is positionally. And then we ask Him, we give Him the adoration
that he deserves. I'm going to close the message with a few thoughts here. We're talking about our Father which art in heaven. We've talked about God in his position and God as a personal God. But there was a picture many years ago that Time Life magazine posted, and this picture captivated the hearts of the American people. And 50 years later, this same picture, we look at it with awe, somehow it just captured something that was dear to us. It was a picture of President John F. Kennedy in the Oval Office. John F. Kennedy was there in his position in the Oval Office as the greatest leader in the world at that time, as the most powerful man in the world at that time. But yet playing at his feet were young John Jr. and Carolyn playing with their toys on the floor of the Oval Office. And that picture captivated our hearts. Why did it do that? I think it did this for two reasons. One, it captured a man in his position, but we realized that though he had a high position, he was still a father. He was still had a personal relationship with people. And so that reminds me of God as we pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." We recognize his position higher than the Oval Office, but we recognize that he's our Father, not just his position, but his personal relationship with us. What a blessing to know God today. What a blessing to know the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing not to just know him. And let me ask you this as we close the message. Do you know him as God? Do you just believe in him as God in his position? Oh, I believe in Jesus. Oh, I believe in God. That's okay. The Bible says the devils believe and they tremble. But what I'm asking you this morning is not that you just have a belief in God or a belief in Christ, but is it personal to you? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? If you do not, then you are not saved. You can pray to God all you want to. You can repeat all the prayers you want to. But until you come to Jesus Christ and open your heart and let the Spirit of God come in, you do not have a personal relationship with God. Every head bowed and every eye closed as we have just a short invitation. Nobody's looking around. I just want to ask you a question this morning. I'm glad I know him personally as my Father. You say, "Pastor, how can I know him personally as Father?" Let me tell you how it happened to me. I heard the Word of God one day when I was just a little boy. The Word of God penetrated my heart and I believed it. I believed I was going to die and go to a devil's hell because the Word of God said that. The preacher was preaching in the power of God and it convicted me. But he stretched his arm open and he said, "Though you may be headed for a devil's hell, Jesus desires you to come to him." I believed that. I got out of my seat and moved down the aisle, and the pastor and I bowed down. And I called on the Lord Jesus Christ, repenting of my sins, not holding on to any sin. And I trusted him as my Savior. I wonder if there's this one this morning, and you've never done that. You know the Spirit of God is speaking to you somehow. Through the message, gospel message of Jesus Christ, through the Word of God being preached. Is there one who'd lift their hand and say, "Pastor, I'm not saved. Would you pray for me?" "Pastor, I'm not saved. Would you pray for me?" Anybody? Anybody? God bless you. What about you, friend? Are you saved? Are you trusted Christ as your Savior? We're going to wait just a moment, but I'm going to turn the invitation and talk to the Christian. But we'll wait on you if you're not saved. We've got some men here that can pray with you, that can take a Bible and show you how to be saved. What about you, Christian? Are you living your life to honor the Father who is in heaven? Or are you living your life to dishonor his name?
Just as we honor the flag when it passes by, are we honoring God in our lives? Are we living for Him? Oh, listen. I sin and fail God every day. But I'm glad that I can tell you the scope of my life is to live for Him. What about you, friend? Nobody's asking you, are you trying to live a perfect life? But what we're asking is, do you pray on a daily basis? Do you read your Bible on a daily basis? Do you live for God? Try your best to live for God on a daily basis. In the midst of your failure, do you live for Him on a daily basis? Do you need to rededicate your life to the Lord? The altar's open. You need to come and pray? We'll pray with you. I'm going to wait just a moment. Do you realize if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that you have to make a decision now? I don't know why I'm going back to this. You have to make a decision now. The gospel's been presented to you. The Lord Jesus Christ has been presented to you high and lifted up. And He said, if He be lifted up, He'd draw all men unto Him. And we've lifted Him up this morning, just as we raised the flag on the pole. We've done our best to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ as high and holy. And He said when we do that, that He'd draw people. You know what He's done this morning through the preaching of the Word of God? He's drawn people. And He said, I'll draw them with cords of love. And He said, I'll draw them with bands of compassion. And that's what He's done. Because of His goodness and His mercy, He's drawn people. Are you saved? Have you heard that Spirit of God speak to your heart? Move before it's too late. We're soon going to close this invitation. Don't wait. Don't put it off. You don't have the promise of tomorrow. You have to make a decision before you go out those doors. You have to say one of two things. Either an eternal yes to the Lord Jesus, or you have to say an eternal no to the Lord Jesus. I beg with you, and I plead with you, say yes. Say yes. I'm going to close. I don't know what the Lord's done here this morning, and you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. In 99% of the cases, it ain't none of my business what the Lord's done here. Amen? Amen. That's between you and God. I'm going to tell you something. In the last 4 or 5 weeks, the Lord's moved in our invitation, and I appreciate the Lord coming by. I really do.